AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on Rangers' decision to sack Russell Martin. His four-month spell comes to an end amid angry scenes following a 1-1 draw at Falkirk. Parag Marata and Andrew Kavanagh admit they got this wrong, so what or who comes next at Ibrox? And elsewhere, Celtic get a dramatic last-minute winner to keep them in touch with leaders' hearts as Aberdeen finally score a goal and win some points in the league. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, we've got extra bodies in for a big night. It's David Friel of the Scottish Sun, Ross McCormick and Hugh Keevans.
Well, the sacking of Russell Martin was inevitable. He had exhausted tolerance levels among the supporters and now the board. And it's correct that Andrew Kavanagh owns up to the mistake, takes responsibility, and now is charged with finding the next guy. He had better get it right. But on another note, Gordon, I said to you on Saturday, Russell Martin inspires irrational levels of detestation among supporters, and the irrational came out to play yesterday. Watching Russell Martin getting a police escort from the Falkirk Stadium was not an edifying sight.
No, I totally agree with you with that one as well. I did say that I expected, during the week when the fans are approaching the Rangers officials in team hotels, I'm actually glad now that Russell Martin's actually lost his job. I don't like to see it, but I'm glad, because my worry was that it would get physical for him at some point, and you don't want to see that.
Gordon, I think we just get into duty of care territory. At the weekend, I think Russell Martin had to be taken out of the firing line. It was a very short-lived either. He will go down as probably Rangers' worst manager in their history, but I think Parag Marat, Andrew Kavanagh also did duty of care towards their club and their team, because he wasn't getting any better as the Rangers' manager. Results weren't coming and a change had to be made.
Come on then, 0141-951-1025. He might not have been here for long, but my goodness, how many times did we debate Russell Martin's tenure, and now it's over. So how do you look back on it? I think first and foremost, obviously, I take it you all think it was the right decision. So if so, come on and tell us why. What was the final straw? When was that? What did you make of the weekend? What did you make of the scenes? As Hugh says, fans obviously want to stand up for what they believe in and want to see change. Was that right? Did it go too far? What does that environment look like now going forward? What about Parag Marata and Andrew Kavanagh owning up to getting this wrong? Is that the type of admission you were hoping for? And inevitably, what comes next? But I suppose we'll spend the next few days, weeks, months, maybe doing that type of thing. So let's look back first. What you made of the decision, what you made of the announcement. It all happened very quickly last night. I suspect Rangers, maybe looking at you, David and Hugh, the sort of more interested in the news cycle, I suspect Rangers maybe didn't intend on doing it late last night, but then once it started getting reported quite widely, they maybe had to. Would
I think
that be
once
fair?
The television pictures on Sky showed the mm-hmm. Russell Martin police escort, mounted policeman.
Yeah. I still think the announcement was going to come today, though, until everybody started reporting it last night.
Yeah, but I think that, as David and I both know, things reach a crescendo.
Yeah, it did. I mean, I agree with you, Gordon. I think there was a sense that there would be an announcement first thing this morning. However, as you said, things did reach a crescendo. And I'll be honest with you, as soon as the full-time whistle went, I fully expected Russell Martin to leave his job. You start actually thinking about the next day and how you're going to report it and everything coming there. So yeah, it was untenable by the end.
I mean, Ross, we'll just start by asking a silly question because it will set the tone for the rest of the show. But I take it this is different. Usually when we have a managerial sacking, that's the point. We have a debate about whether it's the right thing. Is that debate just a non-starter here? Is that just dead in the water? Has it been for a while?
Yeah, I think probably the debate that's there is why it's probably taken so long. I spoke about it in one of the shows before, where when Leeds get promoted to the Premier League, they were going to sack Daniel Farke, but the only reason that they didn't sack him was because of the outcry from the fans. So I thought, if they're listening to the fans down in Leeds, then it's impossible not to hear the noise that the Rangers fans are making here. So I thought it would have happened a lot sooner.
See, because we've got such pressing business, you three can give me your goal and result and top man of the weekend some point later in the show. Okay. How does that sound? Let's dive straight in the phones, because they are red hot, as you can imagine. Joe is a Rangers fan. There is so much swirling round your head, I'm sure, Joe. What springs to mind after the last 24 hours or so?
Oh, good evening, panel. First of all, absolute disgust. Absolute disgust at the way the Rangers fans behaved yesterday. For that man to be perceived that he's under any threat of danger and having to get a police escort out of a stadium through a different exit into a different car, to be honest, I'm absolutely ashamed. Absolutely ashamed. I watched it back on Sky several times. I've watched it again on YouTube today. And it's disgusting and appalling in any other words you can think of. As a Rangers fan, yes, I'm a happy. Obviously, you don't want anybody losing their job, whether it's in football, any walk of life. Russell Martin, for me, wasn't the man to take his forward, but he deserved to be treated like a human being. Rangers fans, and I'm one of them, I haven't behaved like an idiot, first of all, let me say that. The people who are behaving the way they're behaving and threatening them and all the rest of it, these people need to be tracked down and they need to be banned from Ibrox, and the authorities need to do something about this. I was listening to TalkSport this afternoon, and Emmanuel Petit says that the rest of the world is watching, and he's actually spoke to ex-Rangers players, French ones, who said they could not believe what was going on in Scotland with the Rangers fans. As the Rangers fans are predominantly well known for having a good time, etc., when they go abroad. This has brought massive shame onto your club, the way we've treated this man. And I'm absolutely disgusted. I hope he's down the road. There's a weight off the man's shoulders and he's sitting having a beer thinking, thank God I'm away for that nonsense. But the Rangers board, they have been massively complicit in this nonsense. Patrick McGrath and Andrew Kavanagh, the day that they had the AGM and they invested the $20 million, they did a video on the Rangers YouTube channel, and Patrick McGrath actually said, you won't hear much from us unless there's a problem. Well, there's been a problem for about the last 5 or 6 weeks, so where has he been?
Well, let's get
a massive problem.
Let's draw a line here between the nonsense, as you rightly describe it, Joe, and what Andrew Kavanagh has said today. They are responsible for making a bad appointment, and they've owned up to that. But they are not complicit in what took place at Time Up. When you have hooded gangs trying to stop the team bus from leaving the Falkirk Stadium and necessitating the head coach's departure via a back door with mounted policemen and other policemen guarding him, then that is antisocial behaviour. It has nothing to do with Andrew Kavanagh, but has everything to do with an antisocial group who are tolerated at Ibrox because they all stand in the same place. You know exactly who they are, but what took place yesterday was sinister, disturbing, and very wrong.
What Joe's trying to say, though, is why, like, you can try and change the minds of hundreds and hundreds of fans if you want, but you won't do that. So what you do is you have a better grip on the mood and you sack the manager before now. You don't... Look, I need to be honest, right? I'm obviously trying to play devil's advocate to a point. Would I ever stand in front of the team bus and stop it leaving because I didn't like something my team did? No. Absolutely not. Not in my life or the next. But at the same time, fans, we all know it. We know about the passion in this country and that the money that they put in and all that stuff. And I'm not saying that entitles you to cross a line. But there was an over... riding feeling week after week after week that gets stronger and stronger and stronger, that the club was not listening. And then that leads to this.
Yeah, he had 17 games in total. So would the game against Club Bruges be the one that ought to have sparked his removal?
You could have said a few different
perhaps
points, probably.
But I don't think it's been the finest hour for the Rangers report. You know, I described it in one newspaper column as human debasement when it came to Russell Martin. The chanting at Ibrox was of a kind that I have never heard before. But what took place yesterday takes you on to another sinister level. This is about organised gangs, and they do not represent Joe and other right-thinking Rangers fans.
But again, to be fair, they do represent a lot of Rangers fans as well. You know, I don't know if we can just sweep it away in that manner.
Yeah, but I would like to think that the Joe is representative of the vast majority who don't want to see a manager subjected to that type of incident. Because I always think any manager, look, we'll speak, and we have spoken about Russell Martin's feelings as a manager, but he's still a human being. He was still going to his work. And I think the footage that Joe references in talking about Manuel Petit of Russell Martin walking across the Falkirk pitch to be taken away in a car was concerning, unsavoury in the extreme, Gordon, and for that to happen, I think any football manager deserves a lot better than that. But I don't think it is representative of the vast majority of Rangers fans. I think the vast majority want him out, but I think they want to treat him a bit more respect than that.
Did you know, Ross, that when that full-time whistle went yesterday, that was it? I mean, easy to say that now, because I probably asked you that after Hearts, and maybe after Bruges, and maybe after Sturm Graz. You've done it.
I did have a feeling. I thought this two-week international break as well would have came into it a little bit, and what I mean by that is they've now got a couple of weeks that they can look to appoint someone. But yeah, you could sort of tell by his demeanour as well at full time. He just looked as if, oh no, this is it, I'm done here. But I got to admit, I do feel sorry for him. I just think, I mean, we haven't spoke about it yet, but there's a potential incoming manager now look at that and go, I don't really want to play that.
What do you think, Joe, on that front?
I think if you're any up and coming manager down south or in Europe or elsewhere in the world, and you've seen how we as Rangers fans have behaved over the last period, to me you're thinking no chance. If you've got a young family, you're going to move your wife and kids to Glasgow, where if it all goes Pete Tong after six or seven games, you're going to be subjected to what that man went
through. No, but what they'll do, Joe, Stephen Gerrard came here. No member of the Gerrard family came here. Philippe Clement, family back in Belgium. There'll be a queue for the Rangers job, an absolute queue. But they will exercise the right to take the job and leave the family where they are.
You can also look at that another way and say that any new manager who comes will be confident that they won't have by a mile the worst win percentage of any Rangers manager. They won't go down as the worst statistically Rangers manager in history, and therefore fans won't feel that level of anger towards them.
Yeah, any new manager would back himself, Gordon. As you said, there'll be a queue the length of Circuit Hall Street for this job. It's still a very lucrative job. There's still a good group of players there. I know they've not shown it in the last couple of weeks, but Rangers will not have any problem finding a new manager. And I don't, look, as bad as it was the scenes yesterday, I don't think that will put anybody off.
James is on the other line. Thank you to Joe, a very passionate opening. James, it's over. Did you know that would happen yesterday? How do you feel about everything that's unfolded?
Well, what happened yesterday with him getting escorted to Falkirk, that's on the board, that's on them. This Kavanagh and Parag character, they don't understand your club. They never will understand your club, and they don't care. We're just another leg of their multinational investments, and they don't really give a toss. And let me tell you something. See, when all the rumours were going about that it was going to be this guy or that guy and Russell Martin, we, the supporters and supporters associations, a lot of people connected with Rangers, said, please don't employ Russell Martin. We don't want him in. We just had a gut feeling. We didn't want him in. We didn't want him involved in the club. And they were still in the middle of doing their due diligence. And if you're doing your due diligence for a multi-million pound company, you're going to listen to rumours. You're going to keep your ear to the ground. You're going to do your research, and you're going to ask. All these people are coming out saying they don't want this guy. Why? And they interviewed him seven times. Seven times interviewed him for this job. And they knew they didn't want him, we didn't want him in the job. Russell Martin's even saying
He wasn't wanted. He knew it before they came in. He wasn't wanted in a job. Why would he take a job that he knows he's not wanted and then spit his dummy out when fans chase him at the ground? That's not on the board.
He hasn't spat his dummy out. He hasn't said a word. He left with a police escort and hasn't said a word.
He's been talking every week, and he's been saying about you're saying this and you're saying that. What does he expect? Listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter on Russell Martin. Russell Martin is taking the job and making the money. He's entitled.
But you're now arriving at the conclusion that Andrew Cavanagh doesn't care about your club. If it wasn't for Andrew Cavanagh, you wouldn't have a club.
They've not done their due diligence, you. If they're still going to listen to what's going on and they still give the guy the job, they interviewed him 7 times.
That is doing your due diligence. That's why you have 7 interviews.
Not well, clearly.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they've owned up to the mistake. But you're now getting ahead of yourself.
Hold on a second, though. Fans like James are entitled to be angry. It's all right owning up to the mistake. That is a heck of a mistake. Yeah. That is a serious mistake.
Yeah, and they have a real job in their hands to atone to James and the other Rangers supporters. But it's a bit much to take it to the extent of saying they don't care about the club. Well, maybe, I mean, they cared enough to take care of the financial aspects involved in taking over Rangers.
Well, no one will know, but I think there are clearly question marks about how much they got then, the situation, if that's fair. Because James is right, it was an appointment. It's just the unfortunate nature of football. It is results driven, so everybody then at some point does have the benefit of hindsight and can say I told you so. But if you're going to go for an unpopular appointment in the first place and think that you're very clever and you've got it all sussed out, it can't go as wrong as it did.
It can't, but I can also... 3 weeks ago, Kevin Fellwell sat and did a Rangers TV interview, Gordon, and said that Russell Martin was one of the best coaches he's ever worked with. I think it's a fair point to make against Andrew Cavanagh and Parag Marat that they don't understand the temperature of the city and how this has been going on. We were at the Hearts game, Gordon, sitting in the gantry, and both of us after that game couldn't believe how toxic it became. I was surprised Russell Martin survived that game, and for it to keep going and keep going and keep going, I think it's a fair accusation to say that do the American owners really understand what was happening?
Ross, I mean, again, I appreciate it that everyone's an expert after the event, but you almost didn't. For fans like James, they're saying, well, we actually saw this coming. We saw Russell Martin wasn't going to be a success here. I don't know if that's fair or not, but I mean, it's hard to argue against when you've got this body of evidence now.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against, but you've got to remember, Russell Martin, he took a Southampton team out the Championship into the Premier League. Mm-hmm. That's when he got the job. I was more interested in what he'd done in the Championship with Southampton, rather than what he'd done in the Premier League, sure. Because Jurgen Klopp couldn't have kept that squad up that they had in the Premier League, so I wasn't too concerned about that. And I'd seen his team play, you know, multiple times down south, and I thought they were absolutely outstanding. So when he got the job, I thought, I couldn't get with what the Rangers fans were saying, because I'd seen his Southampton team play, and actually what was labelled probably at Rangers was the fact that they didn't have a playing style and they couldn't really play against teams who come in low block and all that. Well, Southampton were actually amazing at breaking that down, and breaking it down pretty often. So I never got with that one.
But then all that stuff was his undoing ultimately, wasn't it? Not only sticking to it or trying to on the pitch, but almost the way it was communicated as well to fans. Never bought into anything he said for the last 3 months.
No, and that's why he's saying now that he wasn't basically welcomed in the first place, and he understood that. But I think what happened yesterday was obviously unsavoury, but the Rangers fans believed that they had to do something like that to affect change because they felt like they weren't being heard.
James, I mean, just that decision ultimately to put him in the first place, and that's what you keep coming back to.
Well, listen, I remember I was speaking to my pals, speaking to my son, speaking to, you know, work colleagues, and we didn't want them near the club. And okay, I take that back, that they don't care, that the new owners don't care, but they don't know enough to care. That's more like it. They don't know enough to care the way we want them to care. And see, there's clubs coming up, guys coming up for the Championship. We need to win every game. We need to win every game. We don't want a manager who doesn't mind if we lose two, draw three. You know, that's not the results we need in Scotland. And that's, we didn't want that. We wanted an ambitious guy. Russell Martin did not approach us as an ambitious guy. That's why we had the gut feeling, and everybody I spoke to, we didn't want him. Nothing personal. We didn't want him. We didn't think he was a Rangers fit. We didn't think he was a Rangers manager. He wasn't he never showed that he could dig deep and get results. That's not the type of guy that we thought, and it turns out we were right. But what I'm interested in, I think we're getting after the boil here. What I'm interested in is, that's all like these two guys saying they got it wrong. They get multi-million pounds staying in California or San Francisco. What happens if they turn around and say, oh, we got it wrong again? We're not a project club. We need to get this right. We've been out of the fold for so long. We're never going to get back in if we don't do that now.
Yeah, but those who are running the club could not take them any further. There was what Dave King called investor fatigue.
So what did we do?
You have to trust in them to get it right, because they took over your club.
Would you trust someone who just made a mistake of that size?
So after 17 games with Russell Martin, are you now advocating that they sell the club?
Who said that?
Well, you said, how can you trust them?
Well, I'm trying not to be patronising. You must sympathise with the Rangers fans who are looking at people that appointed statistically the worst manager in their history and doubting that they have got what it takes to then pick the next guy.
Well,
that's just natural.
Yeah, but I'm asking you then, do you want another consultant brought in?
You're still allowed to doubt it, though. That's all it is. Well, I don't think James is saying remove Andrew Cavanagh. I didn't hear that leave James's lips. Anyway, we're 3.5 minutes late for this break, so thanks to James and Govan, and we'll do plenty more of that when we return.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, David Friel and Ross McCormick here. A very busy night in these phones, so let's dive straight in with Ian, who's on. Ian, your reaction then to what's been a very interesting day or so for you Rangers fans?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm glad he's away. I couldn't wait to he went away. I couldn't watch it. I didn't even want to go to the games like a lot of Rangers fans. They were terrible to watch. His excuses were pathetic. Everybody's got eyes in their head. They could see what he was saying wasn't happening. And I think this, what happened yesterday was ugly, and it shouldn't have happened that way. And I'm not condoning it in any sense. But Russell Martin and the board have been complicit in this, the two of them, because they've been gaslighting the fans for so long. Oh, he's the best manager I've ever seen. I'd love to know why. Well, how many managers he's seen, if he can come up with that statement. I think, personally, I don't know if he knows Russell Martin from old, but I think it was his friend or whatever, and he was getting the job no matter what. A bit like, it's a bit convenient that his son's in there as well. But this has been brought on by Russell Martin. His attitude, he's never come across, he's never took any blame for anything, nothing. It's always been somebody else's fault. He stood there, he shrugged his shoulders, he's bit his lip, he didn't look as if he cared. He never came across. I'm not saying he didn't care, but he never looked as if he cared. He kind of just shrugged his shoulders and like, oh well, it'll be alright, they're alright. We get beat the day, but we get drew the day, but it's not that bad. I don't understand why these people can't see. If they don't understand, if they didn't understand before Russell Martin came in, what it's like to manage Rangers and run Rangers as a board, they'll know now, and they need to get the next manager bang on. I don't condone what the Rangers fans done, but I can understand why they done it. because when you don't listen to people and you treat them with contempt, this is what happens.
There is a quote that will haunt Kevin Thelwell forever from when Russell Martin was appointed. It says his teams play dominant football. They control the ball, dictate the tempo, impose themselves physically. They press aggressively, work relentlessly. All characteristics we believe are required to be successful at home, away and abroad. Ross, first of all, with the kind of football view on things, did we even see anything? Did we see 5% of that?
No, we didn't. We didn't. But I can understand when that statement was made why he was saying it, because I saw his team produce that before. But yeah, no, but absolutely miles off it. You can't defend that at all.
Gordon, see, when any new manager comes in, you need to get results. And see, if you can't get results, you need to have a style of play that fans can buy into. And see, if you can't get either of those, you need to take the fans with you with what you say. But Russell Martin, in all three counts, he never got results. There was no style of play. And every time he opened his mouth after games, mm-hmm. before games, he seemed to rub the fans up the wrong way with every kind of sentence or every kind of remark over things. I agree with Ross. I think at times down south, MK Dons, Swansea, Southampton, he showed he is a capable coach. I just think the job was too big for him.
Hugh, was he on that point there, and Ian makes it, was a lack of personal accountability from Russell Martin? Do you think it was part of his downfall? Now, I don't know if you can ever actually survive on his win percentage anyway, and yeah. we know that results are the most important thing, but it does feel like things were accelerated because every time he tried to explain away the disappointments, it just angered the Rangers fans more.
I always said to you, and you've interviewed him as much as anyone else, he's not half as clever as he thinks he is in an interview situation, and he constantly let himself down, fell over his feet, tripped over his tongue. So he's paid the price. But I will also say to you, I think Kevin Thelwell is fighting to hold on to his position as well as a director of football, because all the Rangers fans know that he conducted the 7 interviews with Russell Martin, went out on a limb by saying that Russell Martin was one of the best coaches he had ever worked with, and then came the appointment of his son Robbie to head of recruitment at Rangers. Kevin Thelwell, this is a watershed moment. He won't survive another one.
So, Ian, if I was trying to view this in from Russell Martin's lens, I've no idea what he's thinking tonight, but trying to come up with a hypothetical scenario where he says, because he did mention it publicly before, the fans never liked me anyway, so they were never willing to give me a chance. Yesterday he said he thought bits of the performance was good actually yesterday, and he could see things heading in the right direction. Is there none of that that chimes with you?
No, absolutely not. I mean, and it's been like that obviously for a while, and everybody, I mean, I don't know, the fans, alright, the fans never wanted him, that's a fact. Most of the fans never wanted him. But I think most of the fans, even though they didn't want him, they were willing to give him a chance. And I think people forget that Russell Martin had a great opportunity to prove the fans wrong and to get them on his side by doing the right things and doing what he said he was going to do. And if he would, I mean, like yesterday, was it yesterday that Dundee got absolutely cuffed by Aberdeen? And the manager, the Dundee manager, Stephen Presley, came out and said, I need to look at myself, it was my fault. And Russell Martin never, I don't recall him ever saying anything like that in the whole 17 or whatever games he was, hang me, in charge. And he was just, to me, he was just gaslighting everybody. And he, whether he is arrogant or not, I don't know. But of all, he comes across as really arrogant and dismissive. He's got a dismissive nature about him.
But that's why I say Kevin Thelwell's the man under pressure now. Because yeah. Russell Martin's gone. And you know, you all have your impressions of him, and none of them are favourable, but he's gone. So the man who appointed him, who said he was one of the best coaches he'd ever worked with, who went out on a limb over Russell Martin and has now gone out on a limb over his own son, he's the man under pressure. He and Patrick Stewart are under tremendous pressure.
How would you sum up the performances, Ross and David, that are under Russell Martin then? Because as always, I think the truth probably is a bit in the middle. There probably is an element of the fan base that never wanted him, were never going to give him as much leeway as they would give other managers. However, Ian says, look, people would have given him a chance. Win the first few games, win them well, there was a really lazy comparison for a while. It did get blown out the water about Ange Postecoglou, didn't it? It was, well, listen, it took him a while to get going. Yeah, but in amongst these bad results, he had 2 6-0 wins. You could clearly see what was happening, whereas you couldn't hear, could you?
The Pilsen home game is the only one where I watched and felt that he's onto something. You could see what he was trying to do. He had Gassama and Antonin down the wings, and Rangers looked like a team. See, apart from that, Gordon, there's been flashes in games, and I'd even include Sunday. There's been flashes because it was a very good goal Rangers scored. But overall, it just, there was no style, there was no identity. People talk about DNA of playing, and actually, if you look at Falkirk yesterday, you could see exactly what John McGlynn's players were told to do, how well they were drilled, how well they were organised. You couldn't say that about Rangers at all.
And right to the end, Ross, right to the last minute, and I do have sympathy for him because he probably knew what was coming. I know there's a school of thought out there that he might not have survived even if he had won yesterday. But right to the end, it felt like Russell Martin's assessment of that Falkirk game didn't really match what most people watched.
It certainly didn't match what I watched. Actually, I was talking about the stats. I checked the stats at half-time and it was showing Rangers having 63% possession. I couldn't believe that alone. But listen, the results tell the whole story. 7 games in the league, they've won 1. It is nowhere near good enough. And it had to happen. It's as simple as that. I thought it would have happened quite a bit sooner, but it had to happen.
I think it was quite alarming within that, Hugh, is see all the draws. Uh-huh. You actually can make a... Rangers probably deserve to lose a few of them, like quite a number of them, which, you don't usually get that. We all know that if Rangers or Celtic are off at a bit, other team raises his game, that they can nick a draw. But there are a few of them that you could make the case that Rangers were not the better team.
Yeah, and what happens now is that this will be reassessed by everyone, most certainly Andrew Kavanagh. And yeah, if he's guilty of not understanding Glasgow, not having any feeling for the temperature in the city, then the only way he can learn is by something like this. He has made a monumental blunder, and they, the 49ers Enterprises, will have to recover from that. There can't be a second monumental blunder.
Thank you, Ian. What about Thomas and Dalmarnock? What are your thoughts on it all, Thomas?
It definitely had to go. But the guy said earlier on when he came in, I wasn't the one for him either, just because I looked at his past records and stuff like that. And I think his highest percentage was at 47% with Southampton. But that alone, but when he came in, I said, all right, let's see what the guy does. Prove he's wrong, prove the fans wrong, no one. But as Hugh was saying earlier on as well, the way you think somebody would advise on how to speak, he just started off right away saying outside noises. You know, when the media were questioning him or the fans, wouldn't they say the fans? Or it just, and the thing that got me, after the 9-1 defeat with Bruges, he comes out the next day and I think he says, I said, have you spoke to the board? They said, yes, sir. And if anything, he says, the board are backing me even more. Now, that either means the fans are stupid or it made the board look stupid. And then he was saying, just last week, Hugh, I think he said, in a perverse way, I'm enjoying this. Yeah. You know, and I'm going, what is this? What is the guy saying? I mean, we're drawing, we're getting beat. And it was just getting worse and worse and worse. And these are it was unprecedented, you know. I know the supporters, the young boys and all that yesterday. Thankfully, it was verbal stuff and stuff like that, and silly, but nay, right? But it was unprecedented what's happening.
He threw in all the daft stuff, Thomas, you know, about the phone calls from his mother to make sure he was okay. Rangers fans don't want to hear that, about phone calls from your mammy, you know. A pal of mine of a certain age, like myself, texted me last night and said, when he watched him going with his backpack, said, he's a West End lovey.
We can kind of laugh, right? But then I wonder if that is the stuff that just became overly, unnecessarily personal. Like, and I get it, because it's hand in hand with results, and he became disliked. But, you know, maybe one day when the temperature comes down, we'll look back and go, he wore glasses in an interview, who cares? He used to flick his hair on the touchline, like, who cares? You know, it all snowballed very quickly.
It got very silly, Gordon. I think it's fair to say. And I think it probably just tells you how much the Rangers fans really struggle to take to him. And as you're saying, every part of his appearance, to the way he walked, to he's a member of certain political parties, all of that was kind of cast up for him.
That's really what Clyde One Super Scoreboard needs. Let's have a debate about that.
But I think fundamentally it comes down to, I think any manager can win a fan base over, providing you get results.
The day or signs of them.
Or signs of them. David, and it just wasn't happening.
David, the day before he played Sturmgratz, he had a press conference, and he finished the press conference by saying, and this is after a 94th minute goal against Livingston, that walk in Loch Lomond, maybe not such a bad idea after all.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
Yeah. Ross, there's a list of, someone will document them all, I'm sure, but from day one of the season, Motherwell away, some of them need to park their egos, all that sort of stuff, and it actually just unravelled from there. It snowballed. Hugh mentioned Loch Lomond. There was the, which became a debate in itself. David will know, Rangers, there are a lot of fan media representatives who come into the press conferences. One of them said that they didn't look coached, Russell Martin didn't like it, so they then beat Hibs, and of course Russell Martin can't resist coming in and saying, looked coached today. At which point, you just know it's a matter of time before they don't look coached again. And you could see it all coming.
Yeah, definitely. Incidentally, you mentioned the Motherwell game. That's probably the one press conference where I actually thought, all right, okay, yeah, fair enough for saying that when he dug the players out. I thought, mm-hmm. because a lot of them have been getting away with loads for too long. I thought, all right, okay, that's good. But then it was just quote after quote every single press conference. I actually got towards the end, I was actually thinking, why doesn't he just send out the assistant manager to do a press conference here?
A very boring detail that people might not care about. Did you know that his assistant manager would come to all the press conferences?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was maybe that was the next day. I've never seen it before. I'm not pretending it matters. It was just for anyone who wants a wee peek behind the curtain. His assistant would always come.
He was
come.
In the shadows, shall
he would,
we say.
He would always come and stand at the side, which I've never seen before.
He's,
anyway.
He's come to clipe to the manager.
Perfectly pleasant guy, by the way. I'm just saying, just never seen it before. Thomas, it was 122 days, was it? 123. Now that you've brought it up, it's remarkable what was crammed into that, wasn't it? You know, when you mentioned Loch Lomond, the Nicholas Raskin situation. We maybe had the beginnings of a James Tavernier situation, because let's be honest, he tried to drop the captain, he tried to upgrade the captain with Max Ahrens, and that didn't work. It's quite remarkable that the list of things that you don't like that's gone on in that 122 days.
It was incredible. It just kept getting worse and worse. And I said to my family, I said, this is going to get worse. This isn't going to get better. You can see it. And just quickly, can I say as well, I know Hugh was saying about Kevin Fellwell. The owners need to look into, he was part of the, a lot of the undoing. Everton are terribly run as well, and Man United haven't been great all these past decades, and Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fairwell were part of these clubs. They need to look in, and the thing about the boy the boy that got Fairwell and Chernity, I mean, that looks a crazy signing as well, you know. It's just that's as well as no help. He need to take a look, because they're the ones that actually said he's the outstanding candidate, and it just got bad to us. He eventually had to go, because it's unprecedented. I've never been like that with any other manager, even with Coutinho and all the rest, and they weren't that great. But it was just the way this guy was coming across. His arrogance was terrible. It really was.
Thank you, Thomas. It's 01419511025. Plenty more where that came from when we return.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Steve Cowan.
What is that group of players has to be dismantled? You dismantle them, Sean Dyche is going to say, where's my 20 million? What's wrong with my way of doing toast on one side, flipping it over, and the cheese is on there?
Because then you've got one side that's uncooked.
Ah, you get the bread. That's wild, Steve.
No, Celtic is being run exceptionally well as a business, but on the pitch, Celtic should be doing a lot better.
They're upset about one transfer window. Geomopolis.
Check it out on the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel, or get it where you get your podcasts now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Field of the Scottish Sun is here alongside Ross McCormick. Not a chance. We could leave Hugh Keevan sitting in his man cave on a night like this, shouting at the radio.
Exactly.
Had to bring him in, put him to use. So Gus is the next Rangers fan to give us his take. Go on, Gus.
Right, good evening, panel. The obvious, you know what this is all about.
Go for it.
I've got three quick points. One about the club itself, and two about Russell Martin. You can answer them any order you want. First point, Rangers Football Club are getting laughed at by Russell Martin at the moment. He's paying them millions and millions of pounds. He knew this from about 8 or 9 weeks ago. He's going to get a massive payout in regards to what he said. So everything he said was basically what everybody wanted to hear, right? point two. Most previous Rangers managers, successful, unsuccessful, could walk back into Ibrox. Without a problem, they've got a shake of the hand, pat at the back. No chance that Russell Martin could walk into Ibrox at any time.
Why would he want to do that though, Gus, to be fair, given what he's been subjected to?
Well, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, previous managers have had not as much as him, but, you know, a fair bit, and they could walk back in and get a welcome. No chance he's going to get a welcome.
That goes back to this dislike point, doesn't it? Because Gus is probably right.
It's not meant to be that way.
No. Listen, I'm not accusing you of being unfair. I think you're probably accurate. As an example, Philippe Clement didn't work. Clearly, hence why he got the sack. But you know, Philippe, you can imagine Philippe Clement would walk back into Ibrox, and people would say, "Do you know what? Thanks for your that won't happen here. This is one of the most most awkward parting of ways that we've seen, Hugh." And awkward's not even the right word.
The word I kept coming up with in recent times was detestation. There is a detestation of Russell Martin. Whether he'd want to come back, I very much doubt it. Would you want to come back to a ground where all you can remember is Russell Martin?
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it there.
No.
You've gone rogue.
I don't quite understand your first point. Russell Martin knew this and he's getting millions. What do you mean?
Well, basically, he didn't realise, obviously, at the beginning, because what he actually, in his own mind, thought was, I can do this job. The board believed me. Let us go. But I can assure you, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, he is nowhere to go, and he's saying what he wants to say to keep himself in that job, because he knows he's going to get a massive payout.
I actually don't hold that against Russell Martin. He didn't hire himself. He didn't give himself the contract. And, you know, this notion that you would walk, none of us are walking away from a multi-million pound contract, especially, and if you're getting shouted at in the stand and booed onto the pitch and all that sort of stuff, and goodness knows if you ever looked at social media or listened to this show, he's entitled to that, isn't he?
Gordon, we've heard managers across the years being asked, probably in kind of nicer terms, would you consider your position given...
I think I asked him it a couple of times.
But I've yet to hear one say, yes, I'm going to walk off this contract. So I don't hold that against him. Did he know this was coming? I'm not sure until maybe the last week that he really feared it. I think he was of
the
opinion...
Do you think so? I think he genuinely felt he could turn it around? Because I'm interested in that.
I'm not sure if he felt he could turn that around in the eyes of the fans, but I think he felt he had the backing of Andrew Kavanagh and those above him, and I think he felt that no matter how bad it was going to get in terms of the fan anger towards him, that they were going to sit tight. But I think that changed in the last week.
I don't think there's any attempt at deception, Gus. You know, he signed the contract. The only thing on a manager's contract that's not included is the date of his departure. So he signed the contract in good faith, and now the end has come, and he will have some kind of pre-arranged arrangement over how much money he's to get in the event of the club terminating his contract. So he signed it in good faith. It was no use, and now he gets his payoff.
And that's fair play. I mean, it's just business as far as he's concerned. Can I just give him a quick third point?
Go for it.
A bit of a short one. Basically, I was listening to Yellow and obviously, and they were saying there'll be a queue the length of the M8 wanting the job. Personally, I think the job's a poison chalice. I think the easy answer is, well, get Stephen G back. That's a step backwards for me. You need somebody fresh in to get this done. I'm not into this ex-Rangers man needing no Scottish football, get the Hearts manager. They need to have a really serious look at this and get a manager that actually knows football. Forget Scottish. Forget, you know, what, where they've been before. Get somebody that actually knows how to play football.
It's the perfect call to end the first hour, because what we've done is we've looked back a lot. Maybe the second half of the show we really do assess what needs to come next, because as part of that open letter from Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marite earlier, they said a rigorous, thoughtful recruitment process is already underway. We are treating it with the urgency it deserves. The two of us are deeply involved, and the evaluation will have our full attention until we're confident we have a leader with the character and skill set to deliver results. So what does that look like? Get your calls in for the second half of the show. There's always time for this, though. Let's play.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
How am I going to toss the coin?
Exactly.
Three people here. Three-sided coin.
I don't mind missing out, Gordon, if that helps you.
I don't think you get to make that decision. Maybe since Hugh's here on a sort of, you don't really bring in a ringer. Maybe you could sit it out and let these
Absolutely. I won on Friday.
Oh, you've earned your rest. Yeah. Anyway, bit of time for Beat the Pundit, then we'll get back to the madness. There's a lot of anger and tension in the air. Let's relieve some of that. It's your chance to take on one of the pundits if you call before 7 o'clock, 01419511025, and we will play next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, David Friel and Ross McCormick are looking back on an incredible day across Scottish football. You just know that we're never far away from a big story here, but this one's been developing for the last 123 days to be precise, and it has come to a head. Russell Martin no longer the Rangers manager. So all your thoughts, and maybe with a bit of a forward look now at what comes next. That's football that doesn't stand still for very long, unfortunately. So get your opinions over to us, please, whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. We will have Hugh Keevans on a supervisory role. Does that suit you? I think that's a man of your stature.
Chief exec.
You've come in. Steady, don't get carried away. You've come in to help us out and deal with all the drama. You're a man for the big occasion. So you can just watch. You've earned your rest. Either Ross McCormick or David Friel of the Scottish Sun will play. Jimmy is on the line. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Who's your team, Jimmy?
Celtic.
Now, Jimmy, I hate to say it, but this will be the first Monday ever that I don't know if the Celtic game yesterday is going to get a look in, given everything that's happened. So you can tell us your thoughts since you're on. Important win, important last-minute goal.
It was needed. Football's just not great at the moment.
It's amazing the margins in football, isn't it? And there's that meeting tonight, David, isn't there, with the fan representatives and the board. And I know this is about big picture stuff. I know it is. I know it's not about Motherwell yesterday. But the temperature would have been also still different. Gordon, had Maida not popped up in the last
There was
minute.
A spell yesterday afternoon where the gap between Celtic and Rangers was 4 points. Now it's 9 points. So, the game kind of... I think Motherwell were impressive. Celtic dug it out in the end, and it was interesting to see Arne Engels combined with Michel Ange Balakwisha. He does exist, and tee up Bison Maida for that goal. A huge win for Celtic in the context of the season.
Motherwell's performance was so brave and impressive. Ross McCormick was posting pictures of himself in a Motherwell strip on Instagram last night, I noticed. So we'll get back to that maybe. Let's play Beat the Pundit first. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be Ross McCormick. If it's the red side, it will be David Friel. And it is blue for Ross. When was your last performance? How's your record?
I think it's not bad, actually. Okay. I think I've only lost a couple.
Only a couple? Yeah. Played two, lost two. But let's see. Right, Jimmy, what we'll do is give him something else to listen to so that he can't hear your answers. The rules are the same as always. 30 seconds. Fly through them if you can. More than welcome to pass. I'm happy with that. All right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, then. Your 30 seconds, Jimmy, going on the clock. And your time starts now. How many league wins did Russell Martin manage as Rangers manager?
One.
Who did Celtic play after the international break?
Dundee.
Who scored the winner in the Edinburgh Derby?
Craig Halkett.
Name any two Scottish clubs Alex Gogic has played for.
St Mirren and Hibs.
Who was Dundee United manager before Jim Goodwin?
It was...
Who's top of the SWPL?
Rangers.
Name a current English Premier League manager who played in Scotland.
David Moyes. Okay.
Ross, are you ready? Look at me checking fixtures, league tables, trying to study. You try to study?
No.
Is that a sign of that reminded me of like when you would cram before your exams? He's just crammed into the
last minute research.
Last 30 seconds for him. Are you ready?
Yes.
Your time starts now. How many league wins did Russell Martin have as Rangers manager?
One.
Who did Celtic play after the international break?
Dundee.
Who scored the winner in the Edinburgh Derby?
Halkett.
Name any two Scottish clubs Alex Gogic has played for?
St Mirren and... Come on.
Who was Dundee United manager before Jim Goodwin?
Pass.
Who's top of the SWPL?
Edinburgh City.
Name a current English Premier League manager who's played in Scotland. Current English Premier League manager who's played in Scotland.
I can't think.
Three,
it's deserted now.
Two,
one.
Oh. You'll kick yourself for that one. Jimmy, you sounded confident. How are you feeling?
I think I've done it.
You've done it. There's one answer in particular that I'm furious with you and one of your colleagues for, and I'll explain it in a minute. How many league wins did Russell Martin manage as Rangers boss? One. It was one. You both got it. Celtic played Dundee after the break. You both got it. Craig Halkett scored the winner in the Edinburgh Derby. There's another thing I'd like to have reflected on tonight, but I appreciate the news agenda has maybe overtaken.
I'll get you there later.
And we'll see how we go. Name any two Scottish clubs Alex Gogic has played for: St Mirren, Hamilton, Hibs. So Jimmy goes one in front. I knew Jimmy was good at this point because he's got all of them right so far. However, Dundee United manager before Jim Goodwin?
Liam Fox.
Yes, none of you got that. None of you got the SWPL. At least Jimmy, Rangers was like a decent educated guess. You've been listening to Gordon DL. There is no Edinburgh City.
Is there not?
But it's Glasgow City. They're the ones that win everything. But for some reason, he keeps getting it. He keeps saying Edinburgh, and you've just listened to him. If there's one person never to listen to, unbelievable. Glasgow City, top of the SWPL. And unfortunately, Ross, no way back for you, because the English Premier League managers who've played here are Arteta and Moyes, and Jimmy dug out one of them. So a very impressive five from Jimmy. Do you know what, Ross? A three is not terrible, but you met a man in form. Are you happy with that, Jimmy?
I'm very happy with that.
Now for the big question. Forget all of them. Are you taking the collector's item, Beat the Pundit coin, or are you taking the sign ball?
Oh, definitely the coin. I've got a ball in the house already.
Oh, he's dropped that in there. Who did you beat previously?
So I've beat Cammy Bell and Gordon Dale.
Hold on a minute. A serial winner. But block his number. What are we doing? He's on to embarrass all the pundits one at a time. Who's next in your sights, Jimmy?
Pardon? I've lost to Kenny Miller and I lost to Simon Donnelly in a tiebreaker in the past as well.
Hold on.
That's four times. Hold on a minute.
How have we managed to get a guy a testimonial on Beat the Pundit? Right, I love the enthusiasm, but we need to do something about this. To be fair, it's been going for about 15 years, so yeah. Maybe he plays once a year.
Jimmy knows his stuff.
Jimmy does. Well done to you, Jimmy. Just a reflection on yesterday, Hugh, as David said, I don't think it changes anything really, Russell Martin-wise, no. But just the margins, as he said, could have been a bad day for Celtic. It didn't turn out that way in the end, and so on.
I'm told by people who were there, in among the crowd, not in the press box, that it was a most un-Celtic-like atmosphere inside the ground. There was much discontent, and at 2-1 down, anxiety. Even had one pal of mine texted me with the name of the man he thinks should be the next Celtic manager. That was at 2-1 down. At 3-2, it was all a different story, of course.
I was going to say, at 3-2, actually, David, it was exactly a Celtic atmosphere. And you sometimes Celtic have a habit in recent seasons of, you get to the end of the season and you can look back on a late goal or two and you point to it as being a turning point or as a significant moment. Only time will tell if that's what that was, but it felt big.
It did feel big. And I think because also going into an international break, if you get into that on the negative, obviously the fans meeting tonight, we'll see what comes out of that later on, Gordon. But I just felt, obviously the game changes in one big mistake from Motherwell, but I just felt Celtic subs made the impact that Brendan Rodgers wanted. Negrin coming on, spoke about Engels and Balakwisha there. And Dyson Maeda, I think he started right, played left and finished through the middle, but so much has been said about him. He's clearly not been at his best, but he was the guy Celtic could hang a hat on last season, and he's done it again today. Yesterday.
You were so proud of the Steelmen's performance. You dug out old pictures of you in claret and amber, put them on Instagram. I don't know if you were out enjoying yourself or if that was a sober decision. Please drink responsibly. But seriously, it was good. It was impressive and made it uncomfortable for Celtic, but ultimately Celtic are Celtic, and it's going to be hard to beat them if you make mistakes.
Yeah, great performance. What I liked is the fact that Motherwell have went to Celtic Park and they haven't changed. They haven't changed. Now, ultimately, playing out for the back probably cost them in the end, but there's 6, 7, 8 different occasions where they've ended up in Celtic's final third from playing out from the back. So something that they're going to stick with, and I've got to admit, it's really, it's refreshing to see.
I thought you made a real good attempt at getting yourself a BAFTA award as well when you were there and the cameras came on you as and you were talking and Celtic made it 2-2. And I thought you held your composure
It was 3-2.
Was that 3-2?
Yeah, so I'm staring down the lens, and obviously that's all you're looking at. You know, look at the pictures behind you, and I just heard the roar. And
you knew it wasn't Motherwell.
And you knew it wasn't Motherwell. We'll maybe get into this in depth as the week goes on. I know there's one big story dominating tonight, David, but the debate around, like, Motherwell clearly shoot themselves in the foot. They clearly overplay. They gift it to Benjamin Negrin. And what we always do here is we go from one extreme to the other. I've seen so many people going, look at the ridiculous modern football and trying to pass out and he should have kicked it, which he should have. But you surely have to pause and say, you can't have it both ways. Maybe Motherwell aren't 2-1 up if they don't play that way.
Yeah.
How many times do you... Motherwell haven't beaten Rangers and haven't beaten Celtic in 10 years. It's now 35 attempts. Mm-hmm. So this notion that, oh, you actually should have just gone and been hard to beat, where would that have got you?
No, that's nonsense, Gordon. Look, it's refreshing to see Jens Bertolascu implement this playing style and just stick with it, and no matter where he's going. And he's been asked, look, he was very bullish before the game, said they would stick to it and they would play that way and they were going there to win. And he very nearly did it. But I think it's to be admired. I love the way that he's managed to just put his own imprint, his DNA into the Motherwell team. And he shouldn't change. As you say, the results against Celtic over the years haven't been great anyway, so why not go and have a go? And that's what he did, and I thought some of the football Motherwell played was outstanding.
That said, Ross, you can't also be naive about it and think that it's always okay. Is there an onus on players in those moments to identify? Because actually, maybe a misconception, the Motherwell goalkeeper did clip it over the press quite a few times, and he actually went long a couple of times in the first half. It's not like they don't ever do it. It's a cast iron guarantee. The manager isn't asking them to pass it to opposition players in the 6-yard box. So you need to be a bit, just in those moments, just identify the danger a bit better.
You've just got a sense of danger, you're right. I think when I was watching the game as well, I specifically remember that one, not because they scored, but I'm thinking Celtic were pressing with like 5 or 6 yeah. players, and that was the first time where I thought, they ain't going to get out of this here, they're going to have to go a bit longer. And obviously what happened is they didn't go longer and they conceded the goal. But I love seeing it, I must admit, I do. He's sticking to his beliefs, his principles, and he ain't changing for no one.
For the Rangers fans, though, it must have been the last straw. No sooner has it gone up on the printer, FT, Falkirk 1, Rangers 1, than it goes Celtic 3, Motherwell 2. So it was a horror story for the Rangers fans all day.
Yeah, let's hear what Brendan Rodgers made of the performance, the game, the result.
Yeah, well, it was a fantastic win for us. You know, you can see why Motherwell haven't lost a game. But I thought our players deserved it. You know, the mentality of going behind in the game, it's not easy to play here when you go behind. But we kept fighting. The subs coming into the game made a great impact for us. And in that final 15 minutes of the game where we had them pinned back and moving the ball at speed and creating opportunities was great to see. So the players, yeah, we're nowhere near our level. That's the reality. I think we can all see that in terms of where I would want us to be. But you have to get results when you're a player manager for Celtic, and you have to find a way and you have to dig deep and show heart. And the players did that today. Amazing.
I assume the hope is that can be the spark for Daizen Maeda. Not even close to a secret. Brendan Rodgers has time and time again spoken about his dissatisfaction at kind of not leaving. He's now admitting that he's been played out of position, and he gets his goal when he's moved, you know, away from there. The only thing, he did score an important goal against Kilmarnock, and you wonder if that would be spark, and it wasn't. Can this be, is that a hope?
I think it is a hope, Gordon, but he just does look out of sorts. And I don't think the positional change is helping him, but Kelechi Iheanacho has actually been a bit of a kind of shining light in the last couple of weeks, as has Sebastian Tenekte. So I think Brendan Rodgers wants to get Daizen Maeda into the team. He's kind of settled in this right wing position, which I think he can play. It's probably not his best position, but is he going to score the goals of last season? I think in current form, I would very much doubt it. And then we also don't know what happens in January in terms of, does another bid come in for him? Does another move come in for him that I would imagine he would probably want to take?
Okay, let's go back to the phones, where you can imagine there's one topic in particular dominating things. Jim is on. Jim, as a Rangers fan, how are you feeling?
A lot better than it was yesterday.
So you're relieved that there's been change?
Well, it's been too long in coming, to be perfectly honest. The two men that employed them should be going with them, because how can we trust them to employ someone else to do better than he's done? And I would like to see Barry Ferguson and Stephen Naismith replace him.
I think if you go back to Barry Ferguson with the greatest will in the world, it begins to look amateur hour. You know, he was there, did his bit, got good results against Celtic primarily. But if you go back to Barry Ferguson, then the allegation is, you don't know what you're doing here.
What do you make of that, Jim?
Well, Stephen Naismith, he actually paid part of his transfer fee to come from Kilmarnock to Rangers.
Don't you think the onus is on the club, having spoken about this rigorous procedure that will now take place, don't you think the onus is on the club to deliver a manager, a proper, well-respected, man of calibre, and get him in there?
Did you mean for now, Jim?
Well, why not? Because...
Or do you mean like permanent?
Put him on a year-long contract, the same as what Celtic did with Ange.
I have a lot of time for Stephen. I know Stephen well. He's been on here. I've worked with him on other stuff. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying because he'd blush at the suggestion. Like, if Rangers were looking for a manager, what, like, how would you arrive at him at this moment in time?
Well, tell me this: what experience did Stephen Gerrard have when he came? What experience did Graeme Souness have when he came?
Yeah, but Stephen Naismith's last experience was this time last year being sacked by Hearts. I really don't see how that qualifies you to be the Rangers manager under these circumstances.
Well, Russell Martin got sacked by his previous club as well, Hugh. Did he not?
Well, yeah, but Russell Martin had a certain pedigree, if only taking Southampton up to the Premiership. But I think that you're now not getting what has to be done right now. I think Rangers have to have this rigorous process. No interim choices. No, they're potentially two games away from winning the first trophy of the season. You know, if they beat Celtic at Hampden in the Premier Sports Cup semi-final on the 2nd of November, they're 90 minutes away from winning the first trophy of the season. I think they've got to make an appointment that galvanises the players and the supporters, and not an interim appointment. And certainly they won't be giving Stephen Naismith a one-year contract.
We're taking names now, essentially, which is fine, so all suggestions are welcome. Before we get into that further, because Hugh's made his feelings clear, I take it Rangers need this done by the next game. So is it Dundee United to play after?
Dundee United, a week in Saturday.
Because
Gordon,
something that usually gets lost, it's the manager who takes the headlights. Coaching staff are all gone. Yeah. The place has been wiped. You know, there are obviously staff inside the training centre, but if they can't wrap this up by then, who's in that dugout?
I would imagine Rangers had set the wheels in motion over potential targets over the last couple of days, Gordon. They must have, as we said, there was a lot of kind of murmurs that regardless of what happened at Falkirk, there would be a change. So I'm assuming that Kevin Thirlwell, Patrick Stewart, even above them, Andrew Kavanagh, Paragmarat, and everybody forgets about Greta Steinsen, who's the 49ers head of soccer, who had a huge say in Russell Martin as well. I think they'll be compelling candidates. In terms of the open letter, we can talk about various names and various candidates. I think one line stood out to me at the open letter tonight, and it said that they need to find a leader who has the character and skill set to succeed. I think personality is huge for this next appointment. I think Rangers have to find someone who can be a figurehead, who can carry the burden of leading the club. Whether that's Stephen Gerrard, whether that's Sean Dyche, whether it's Derek McInnes, I think it has to be someone who's ready for the job and who can handle it, who can handle the pressure and the responsibility. We can all of us say who that should be, but I think that character line within that statement is crucial.
Jim's floating a going back to Barry Ferguson. Ross, could you see it?
I can't see that happening, no. You know, it's a bit of a conversation to have, isn't it? You'd have to phone him up and say, we didn't think you were good enough a few weeks ago, but now all of us, yeah. I'm not sure Fergie would go for that either, to be honest.
Fair point. Thank you, Jim. All suggestions are welcome at this point. Even if Hugh doesn't agree, that's absolutely fine. It's what we're all here for, and we'll do it again next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, David Friel and Ross McCormick are here. The phone lines are absolutely red hot. I'll drop the full time teaser. How does that feel? But yep, it's Monday night and I do feel obliged, and I want to give Scottish football the attention it deserves. So a bit out of sync from when we normally do it. Very quickly, your result of the weekend.
Champions elect 1, Hibs 0.
Still going for it. Ross?
Aberdeen.
Of course, first league win, first league goals.
Falkirk, outstanding.
Brilliant, well done. At least a point, you would
at
say.
At least a point. I think I actually could have won it. Yeah. But
goal of the weekend.
Champions elect, Craig Halkett.
Just for the significance, or just a, like, the little cushioned finish?
Warhorse of a man for Hearts, and, you okay. know, fantastic.
Great cross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carlson for me.
Oh, you quite like those dancing feet, didn't
in
you?
In the top corner.
Starting to show what the hype was about when he got signed for Aberdeen.
Yeah,
two goals
player.
Yesterday.
Very good player.
I'm going to go for Marcus Stackers. I like a cross into the box and a header. Oh, 6 foot seven. And said,
how old school
actually,
are you?
He said he wants to work in his head and he's six foot seven. Great header.
Howler of the weekend.
Well, Motherwell goalie.
I thought you might say that. Callum Ward, okay, for an assist against Celtic.
I'm going to stay in the same game, Dundee. Conceding four against the team.
So Dundee collective howling and...
I'm going to go for the Rangers players. Russell Martin has taken a lot of flack, and deservedly so, but I thought Rangers, second to every second ball, I thought they let their team down.
Okay, don't mind that. And top man, then, top performer.
Do you know what? John Rankin, the Hamilton Accies manager.
Okay.
Took them to the top of League One.
Amid madness in the background.
You said it. Madness. They make Rangers look stable.
I don't know about that, but yep, don't mind that, John Rankin.
I'm going to throw in Dyson Maeda. I feel this could spark him into action and go on a little run.
Okay.
I'm going to go Cammy Devlin for one of the quirkiest moments in Scottish football history. Hibs take the kickoff, flick it up, launch it into the Hearts half. Start of the second half, Hearts take kickoff, flick it up, Cammy Devlin launches it in just for a bit of
I like that.
Football
you
banter.
You've seen that before, Ross?
Never. I've seen it when they play it back and then they maybe have like a long
diagonal. Like style.
But that was incredible.
For anyone who's not seen it, the kickoff, it's rolled back, so literally flicked up to himself and then just volleyed right up into the air, and then everyone charges forward. As David says, Hibs did it at the start, so then Hearts thought that he would mimic it at the beginning of the second half. I thought it was quite funny. Well done. Okay, back to more serious business now that we've dished out some awards. Jim is on the line. Sum up your Rangers thoughts, Jim.
Very quickly on Martin, mm-hmm. I feel that he came out after the game and said that he inherited a squad that wasn't great. There was problems in defence. There was difficulties trying to coach the squad and whatever else. If that's the case, why did they start with Butland, Tavernier, Barron and Raskin, and he left Chinmiti, Asgard, Antman and Ahrens and Magoma on the bench? Chinmiti, for me, is a guy that doesn't move. I watched Haaland at the weekend, and Haaland was running the defences ragged, running left, right, all over the place. And I watched Chinmiti in the European games. It was as if his boots were glued to the penalty spot. He wasn't moving. But anyway, I want to talk about Gerrard. That's the main point.
See, so quickly, Jim, if you don't mind, because I think you make some good points there that I'm glad that you brought up. You just hinted at it as well, so... How much blame do players need to take? And then Jim's leaning a bit more maybe into recruitment. Yeah. Has recruitment been good enough? I mean, it's never as simple. This is one of the most one-track minded managerial situations I think we've had, where it feels like Russell Martin has carried 99% of the blame for this, when it's never that simple.
No, it's never that simple. Look, he wasn't up to the job as being Rangers manager, but I think Rangers as a squad of players are better than they've shown. Gordon, I think Sunday summed it up, basically. As I said, I don't think they ran hard enough, they fought hard enough, I don't think they did the basics well enough. And to get into what Jim's talking about in terms of recruitment, I think Kevin Thelwell and his staff who have headed that up, I think they've made major mistakes, and I think simply they've brought players in who aren't any better than what was there before.
The recruitment for me has been so, so poor. Now, you look at it, Asgard, for me... for starters, is meant to be this world beater. He scored two goals in a Luton Town team. Two goals. Magoma came in, left back. He'd made, I think, 13 career appearances for Preston. Mikey Moore, an 18-year-old kid who's only had a handful of games for Tottenham, coming up and being tasked with, you know, reinventing the Rangers forward line. It's simply recruitment has been shocking.
Is that fair, Hugh? You know, eventually, when Russell Martin stops getting the blame for everything, yeah, do we need to dig a bit deeper?
Well, Rangers are about to find out one thing. Was Russell Martin really the worst head coach, oblique manager they've ever had? Or have Rangers assembled at a vast amount of money a squad of players who are not good enough to play for the club? We're about to find out, because the next guy in will quickly be able to tell you whether they are up to the task or not.
Because, Jim, looking back at Russell Martin's body of work, there clearly was an intention there for Max Aarons to be the starting right back over James Tavernier.
Absolutely.
And that you know, that had to get put to bed.
Yeah. And he also said the exact same as Barron's on Sunday. He basically said that he didn't get enough game time. So he actually admitted his mistake there. But can I move on a wee bit?
Of course you can.
Just to talk about Gerrard. There's a lot of talk about Gerrard coming back in. Now, I look at Gerrard very similar to Martin here, because he spent $30 million on Carlos for Aston Villa, $30 million on Lucadinha, $20 million on Coutinho. If you actually look at when he was Rangers manager, Camberi, McCauley, Andy King, Hellander, Itten, Jake Hastie, Bakuna, Gresda, Edmondson, Flanagan to Liverpool, Jordan Jones, Polster, the Canadian, Zungu, Barker, Ojo, Murphy, Greg Stewart, Sadiq, Koulibaly, Ejaria, Ofabora, Jack Simpson. It's unbelievable.
Jim, see if you've not written that down, that's the most impressive feat we've ever had on here.
Honestly, the amount of money that was spent on these guys, and I know a lot of them came in as frees, but they were picking up wages and virtually didn't play a game. I don't know how long Andy King was playing, but he never played.
See, in fairness, Jim, and this is not necessarily my view, but the view of those who want Steven Gerrard, rightly or wrongly, is it not based a bit more on the fact that he won a league and he turned you into a competitive force in Europe, rather than that he signed Ovi Ejaria?
Rose tinted spectacles, one trophy in nine, and he walked at a point where the board were refusing to give him more money.
I don't think he went for that reason. Well, I really don't. I think he ditched Rangers. You know, we had a caller earlier on who said that Russell Martin wouldn't be welcome back at Ibrox because he was so bad.
Yeah.
Stephen Gerrard ditched Rangers and went to Aston Villa because he thought that's a better job than the one I've got. That's the sum total of events there.
I'll give you an alternative. For me, I would bring in Davy Weir. I'd bring in Big Duncan Ferguson to start working with Chinmiti and Danilo and get them sorted. And I would bring in somebody that knows the midfield, somebody like Darren Fletcher, Stuart McCall, or Kevin Thompson. I would get somebody to concentrate on the centre forward, somebody to concentrate in the midfield, and Davy Weir to basically take over operations and manage that defence.
So who's the manager?
Davy Weir.
Davy Weir is the manager.
And what I also want to say is that Souness came in with no management experience. So did McCoist, so did Walter Smith. So people who say that somebody like David Weir hasn't got any management experience, it won't make any sense to me.
Well, he does. He has been a manager. I just feel like he was the technical director at Brighton. Yeah, David. I don't know if first team management's on his radar.
I think he had a spell as Sheffield United manager, and he was obviously at Rangers under Mark Warburton as number two. I think David Weir is going down a different path now, Gordon, to be perfectly honest with you. I think he, as you said, he had quite a kind of high profile
role at
Brighton.
Profile.
I would imagine if he stays in football, then it would be something along that. I don't for a second think Davy Weir will be the next
manager. There's no such thing as universal approval of the next manager. You know, with suggestions now ranging from Davy Weir to Steven Gerrard to Stephen Naismith. I mean, the Rangers fans all say, we didn't want Russell Martin.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to believe that the majority, over 50%, did not want Russell Martin. But others would have been saying, well, let's give him a try. But now Russell Martin's gone, I don't believe that there is a unanimous choice for the Rangers support right now.
No, but I'm going to upset Jim because he's about to contradict my theory here. I think Steven Gerrard right now is by quite a distance the most popular suggestion. Again, for the avoidance of doubt, that's not me saying I think Steven Gerrard comes back and is a success, because I've got no idea and I've not really given it much thought. It just feels like he would be the most popular, and I'm interested in the perception of who this next manager is, because if we've just covered it, if we're saying that part of this is that people didn't want Russell Martin in the first place and some didn't give him a chance, and now there is understandable doubt as to whether the people that picked Russell Martin can pick the next one. I'm really fascinated to see how the next guy is received, because it feels like it could be even more split unless it is a popular choice. And I don't know who a popular choice is apart from Steven Gerrard.
He feels a popular choice. You know, obviously, Jim
disagrees. Yeah.
Jim disagrees, but there's also another line in this open letter tonight, Gordon, where Andrew Cavan talks about a thoughtful appointment.
So you don't think that's thoughtful?
I'm not sure that he is of a mind to just go for the populist choice. I think they're going to take their time to think about that, as opposed to just go for who the majority of Rangers fans would like. And I think the majority of them probably would take Steven Gerrard.
On what basis, David, do you know, do they want Steven Gerrard? He hasn't been employed since last January. He dumped Rangers for Aston Villa. He then went to Al Ittihad and was a failure. So I don't know why it becomes the main choice.
First, to be fair, the use of the word dumped, right, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I think most managers take Aston Villa instead of Rangers. You know, I don't think that's to be held against them.
No.
However, rightly or wrongly, not my opinion, but if you're asking, he's the only guy that's delivered Rangers a league title.
And when we go back to the temperature in the city, it was the league title, the one that stopped Celtic winning 10 in a row. The one thing that made Wim Jansen an immortal, even though he had one season at Celtic, he stopped Rangers from winning 10 in a row.
And he's got, at a minimum, not for Jim, but for other Rangers fans, he's got at least that notion that he's a figurehead and he's a leader, and he carried himself in a way that they liked. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything, but that would be what they're leaning into, surely.
I think it's a wishful thinking.
Do you?
You know, he did it before and he stopped Celtic winning 10 in a row. Therefore, I don't follow the logic there.
What do you think, Ross? Because I would struggle to disagree with you on that as well. I mean, it was a title, it was important, but it was, what, four years ago? It's not like Steven Gerrard's kicked on as a manager since then.
No, so to me, that would, if I'm Steven Gerrard and Rangers come calling now, I'd be looking to take the job, because what other jobs are available for Steven Gerrard? Never mind one of the size of Rangers Football Club. But I think he definitely, out of the names I've seen, he certainly would tick probably most boxes. But whether, as you say, the Americans want to go down that route, I'm not so sure. I can agree with David.
Jim, is this the difficulty though? Because I respect you don't want Steven Gerrard, that's fine, makes little difference to me, but to prefer Davy Weir, who's not really a football manager anymore, you know, is that really the way to go?
I just feel that it's going to taint the memory of Gerrard as well, because it's going to open him up to failure, because he's going to inherit a lot of players that are not his, and I don't know whether he's going to get money to change the squad in any way. I think it's a huge, massive job for Gerrard, and he came in and basically said that Bale was his right-hand man, and that's not going to happen. He's not going to come in with Bale. So, you know, it's not just about Gerrard, it's about his backroom staff as well. I think there's a huge wider picture to be looked at when we think about bringing in Gerrard. And he has failed. There's no doubt about it. He's failed. I've got a lot of good memories of Gerrard winning that title. It was a brilliant title to win. And I don't want him coming in and that being wasted. I would rather see a fresh start for somebody. Mm-hmm. And I know you said that David Weir isn't really a manager. Well, neither was Souness, neither was Walter Smith, neither was McCoist. You know, and even going right back to Jock Wallace, he was a goalie at Berwick when he came in and won the treble. You know, so for me, I would like somebody who has played top European football, who knows Rangers, who's probably Scottish, if not Scottish, somebody like De Boer, or even bringing back Giovanni Bronckhorst, because I felt that was a rash decision. I think he was building something there. So, I don't know. I mean, it's up to the Americans, but I know that things have been spoken about tonight about Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, and that needs to be looked at. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people came on and said that needs to absolutely be looked at. A 26-year-old as head of recruitment, that doesn't work. And I think Patrick Stewart has brought somebody else in from Manchester United as well. So, you know, there's something not right there. And as well as the 10 million that went to Everton for Chirmity, it doesn't add up.
Yeah. We're going to do this a lot, because we do it with every managerial vacancy where we categorise them, we put them in boxes, and somebody who either knows the league, or it's somebody who has played for Rangers or so on and so forth, and I never quite get the wisdom of it, because there's so many examples that, that contradict it all. Ange Postecoglou, never been here, no affiliation to Celtic, didn't even bring any staff, look how successful he was, and quickly. Russell Martin then falls into a really interesting little bracket of his own, maybe because not a Rangers man by any stretch, but actually did play here. You know, a kind of English appointment, if you like, in terms of where he's been a manager, but actually did play here, was a Scotland international. I just don't know if the... I mean, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, that again, he was... He'd played here, he knew this and had other bits. Jim wants him back now, fine, but he ultimately was sacked. Philippe Clement, oh yeah, well, he doesn't know Rangers, but he's a winner. He's won leagues elsewhere, so I don't know if it's where we get from putting them in these categories.
In terms of human nature, we're all over the place here, because people believe that there's a carve-up going on with Everton, and that's why players and personnel from Everton are here. Kevin Delwell, with his Everton connection, and people believe that Patrick Stewart's bringing in people who have a Manchester United connection. And now these people have been entrusted, along with Andrew Kavanagh, with the appointment of the next manager / head coach. I don't think the Rangers fans know who to trust.
David Ancelotti up to? Still got his number?
I think he's struggling.
Oh, he's struggling badly.
And that's another thing, it came down to David Ancelotti and Russell Martin. To go back to what you're saying about, does he need to know the club, does he need to know the league? I think Rangers just need someone with experience.
Gordon. So experience now, so that's the category you'd put on it.
To me, experience is key. Absolutely. And he could have played 200 games for Rangers or no games for Rangers. I don't think that matters.
Is there also the clubs sometimes do this where I'm going to now do what I said we shouldn't do and categorise managers. Have they now had their idealist style obsessed appointment that's gone wrong, and does that mean the next guy isn't that? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you see that they go from young to experienced, then back to, and you almost try and contradict the previous one. But then if you do that on this occasion, what does that say about the vision that you thought you had only 4 months ago?
Well, exactly. And you read out what Kevin Fellwell said the day that Russell Martin was appointed, and it's incredible to actually read it back now. Yeah, it would probably mean Rangers going down a different road. But I don't think they can go down this idealist way that they've maybe tried to under Russell Martin. Because you need someone, if you're going to get an idealist, I think it would have to be someone that understands, we keep using this word, temperature of Scottish football and the club.
Interesting times. I said that I thought, based on what I'd read, Stephen Gerrard was the popular choice, whatever that means. But Jim doesn't agree. RW's on Twitter, he doesn't agree. He says one final out of six, 3 years to win the league, empty stadium, 13 points behind when COVID hit. I love him, but he's not the answer. We need experienced managers in, says RW. Before we go any further, let me run this past you. Clyde One. A new week and a new chance to win a huge cash prize. It's £570,000, an outrageous sum of money. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 7 entries, text YES to 61025. Those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or call 03434 269340. Calls charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. The online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. It's £570,000. Do not miss out on the chance to win. Text YES to 61025.
The Pundit Predictor. With McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
It's getting serious on the Pundit Predictor. It is getting really, really serious. We do this every Friday. We give you the chance to win cash thanks to McNair's every Friday on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And all you have to do is predict the outcome of 3 SPFL games. That is it, 3. And yet, nobody's done it. Last Friday, David predicted Hearts and Celtic would win, but he also predicted Rangers, who let him down. He had them to beat Falkirk, which means he lost out on £700. That's good news for you, though, because another £100 goes into the pot. Means this Friday, £800 for predicting 3 Scottish games. I don't quite know how that's going to work with the international break, but we'll find a solution. I'm absolutely sure of it. You can pick 3 favourites. You can pick 3 overwhelming favourites out of the games that we select, and it's £800 this week. So seriously, a lot going on. It's all thanks to McNair's Building Supplies, and we play on Friday night. So get involved. Hugh Keevans has got no chance of getting 3 out of 3, but you might just do it. What about him? A little bit. Should we reluctantly praise Gordon DL for his tipping recently?
No, let's not. Nah, you're only encouraging a megalomaniac.
Took Kilmarnock to win away at Tannadice the weekend before that and got it right. And then what was his one this weekend?
Kilmarnock to beat Kilmarnock at home. Beat some,
John's on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for having us on, guys. It's quite a wee bit to go on there. I think I've burnt my dinner waiting to go on there.
What are you making?
Pigs, trotters, pig's feet.
It's not what I expected, I must admit.
I'm only kidding, guys.
All right.
Two points, and I'll come in with the first one quickly. Just regarding the behaviour of the fans, this went on far too long. The board have got a duty of care for the management team in Russell Martin. I think they let him down. He should have maybe been gone maybe 5 weeks ago, and maybe it wouldn't have been as bad with the abuse. But obviously, Sunday was its final straw. And that shouldn't have happened, so I don't condone that behaviour. But the second point, which is important, because I know you're talking about who can come in next. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I would look at Kevin Muscat to come in as a Rangers manager. Quite a hard master, as far as I'm hearing. Very knowledgeable. He's been played at the club before. He's got a lot of connections with Craig Moore and etc. He's now managing, as far as I'm led to believe, up until his contract finishes in December. I think he's managing over it. Is it
Shanghai Port he's managing.
Yeah, he's been successful over there. I don't know what the standard of football is, but he's been successful over there. And I would take the chance and go with Kevin to come in as the next Rangers manager. What do you think yourself?
Well, if the progress is rigorous, you'll get a look in, that's for sure. But as you rightly say, we know nothing of football in Shanghai. For some people, it'd be acceptable, I suppose. Others would say from Shanghai to Rangers, I'm not sure about that.
Again, we put them in boxes, David. We categorise them because he's been... He was in the Philippe Clement discussion.
I think it was either Philippe Clement or Michael Bailey get interviewed for the job.
And
definitely.
Then the Russell, you know, his name is mentioned then, Russell Martin. If we're going to, he was seen as the Ange Postecoglou mould because of where he had worked, his nationality, and then the little added one is that he's been at Rangers specifically and in British football.
Yeah, and I think as you mentioned, he was almost seen as a disciple of Ange Postecoglou and his way of playing. Obviously, I think he succeeded him. Yokohama and then moved on to China, and by all accounts he's done a good job. Look, I think again an experienced guy, he's not had I think maybe a little bit of experience in British football would obviously be a bit of a change for him, but yeah, he will be categorised into that sort of former player. I'm not sure idealist, but I think certainly an attacking style of football.
Maybe a question more for Roger Hanna. Would the Scottish Sun budget stretch to send you to Shanghai to get some quotes from him this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'll ask. I mean, Roger's, he's on his travels, God, you know, I need to get him in the country.
No to Stephen Gerrard, John?
I wouldn't say no to him. Look, I think as you touched earlier on about Stephen Gerrard getting up sticks and just leaving, I don't know if it's true, but I think what was happening was Stephen Gerrard was promised the world, promised this and promised that, and the last board didn't give him what he was looking for. Now, I've not got facts to that, but I think there's lots of chat going around that. And maybe Stephen Gerrard said, you know what, I'm not here to have that, I'm off. And maybe that was the reason for him leaving. So before everybody jumps a gun, I think Stephen Gerrard would have been there to give us 3 years. But no, I wouldn't rule it out. If Stephen Gerrard was offered the job and he said, I'll come to Rangers, I'll give you 3 years, in my best 3 years, providing I'm doing well, I'll not leave, I'll get the club back where it is. I think there'll be a lot of fans out there, probably 85%, maybe more, would be happy to take Stephen Gerrard. But what I'm saying, I think you could maybe look at Kevin Muscat, give him a try, give him a go. He's got bags of experience. We could look at that market over in Shanghai. He knows the football over there. Lots of these good players are coming through. Wouldn't it be a bad shout, to be honest with you, because he knows the market over there and he could have his eye on several players that could do as a turn and get them quite cheap.
There's no good shout and no bad shout at this stage. It is for Andrew Kavanagh, the director of football and the chief exec,
to really get their heads together now and come up with a name. We've had several names mentioned tonight. There'll be several more tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Thursday night and Friday night. But the rigorous process must go on, and it's so vital, because if they get it wrong a second time, I shudder to think what the consequences will be.
Yeah, I think you're right, obviously, because only time tells if a manager's good or not. So I know what you mean. Officially, there's no good or bad shout right now. Because of where we are, though, and the Rangers fans, I do feel like there is a PR bit, you know, that comes first. You know, if we're talking about Russell Martin being just unpopular to begin with, I don't know how you avoid that. I don't know how you guarantee it, but it feels important just now.
The next man has at least good image.
Yeah, at least the blind faith at the beginning of the Rangers fans, which Russell Martin didn't have.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? He has to be squeaky clean. He has to be, as David said, you know, experienced. Man of calibre. I mean, a man that you look at and think, well, maybe, there's a good appointment.
Maybe it doesn't matter, right? Because Philippe Clement didn't work out in the end, so I get that. But what at the time, at least people got on board with it, because they say, well, he's won, and you can see the thought process.
You can sell the appointment. You couldn't sell Russell Martin to Rangers fans. They weren't interested. They just
you can't have an appointment that these phone lines are full of people saying that's not who I would have picked. But then in such a divisive city, when everyone's got a different opinion, I don't know how you manage that.
If you've got 50,000 fans, the chances are in Glasgow you've 50,000 different opinions.
And we're here to take every one of those opinions for the next few days. Who says international breaks are quiet on Clyde One Super Scoreboard? Hey, we're back tomorrow. Thank you very much to Hugh Keevans, Ross McCormick and David Friel. Biggest thanks goes to you. Those phone lines were red hot, so we'll do it all again tomorrow, I'm sure, and see what tomorrow brings. Maybe some new names will start emerging. Maybe you will have some more thoughts on it. And of course, we are building up eventually to a big week for Scotland as well. But in the meantime, have a good one. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll speak to you at 6 o'clock tomorrow.